Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg, in for Gil alongside Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Week 15 of the NFL season got off to an exciting start.
Thrilling.
I say that, you know, facetiously. A 12-6 win for the Rams over the 49ers. Congratulations to all of those who cashed the no touchdown score at 225-1 at Circa Sportsbook. I don't know a single winner, though. I haven't seen Jeff Benson tweet anything out about a winner. Have you seen anybody tweet
a winner? No, I have not. I don't even know what I would have guessed the odds on that were. 225-1. All right.
It was less at other sports books, but Jeff had tweeted out that it was 225-1 here at Circa for the no touchdown score last night. And apologies for all of you that were relying on any players in week one of your fantasy playoffs. I, for one, went against Cooper Kupp, who put up a big zero. So I have a big smile on my face this morning. But another reason is because our best bets cashed. Last night, we gave out Colby Parkinson over 8.5 receiving yards. He finished with 2 catches for 21 yards. That's the second most receiving yards on the Rams last night.
I was looking for him on the box score today. I'm like, where's he at? And I'm like, oh,
all the way at the top.
I went too far down, Scott. Yeah, I went too far down.
All the way at the top. Yeah, Puka led the way with the 97 yards, but Colby Parkinson was the second leading receiver on the Rams with 21 yards.
And when did he get his first catch? Was it the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it was. But remember, when we handicapped this, we talked about how in each of the last 4 games, he had only 1 reception.
Yep.
But each of those 4 games, he had gone over the 8.5 yards. His one catch that he had on a designed play-action rollout went for 7 yards.
And Scott texted me that last night. I'm like, yeah, this is going to turn her off.
I said, this is such a bad beat. We lost by 1.5 yards, but then he got the catch on the crucial possession at the end of the game to get a first down and secure the victory for the Rams. I found myself questioning a lot of things last night about both teams and their play calling. Again, no touchdowns were scored. Yes, it was wet and rainy, but the conditions really weren't that bad that the offenses should have been this inept last night. Brock Purdy certainly had a bad performance. I wondered if it was either the familiarity between both of these teams and both of these coaches, or the fact that on a short week of preparation, the game plan was simplified. And I think it's a combination of both. And it's something that we really should be focusing in on when we have these matchups as we progress throughout the NFL season and eventually into the postseason, is familiarity between coaching staffs and familiarity between teams.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I thought the first half the teams looked like, I thought it was pretty apparent that they looked like the weather was worse, way worse than they expected, right? It maybe wasn't terrible, but it was worse than they expected, and they were having trouble dealing with that. Still amazes me today in today's NFL that with all the communication equipment they have, with all the equipment they have on standby, like cleats and gloves and everything, sometimes still just need a halftime to reset. Because it was, I mean, Stafford's first half, 4 of 12 for 23 yards. Second half, 12 of 15 for 137.
Much better.
So, yeah, much better, and conditions got better. Like you're talking about, weather wasn't nearly as bad in the second half.
For the 49ers, we cashed the George Kittle receiving yards over 59.5, barely, in one of the bets that I felt should have never been a sweat because he had a monster first half, and then all of a sudden we were waiting for one catch just to get him over, which he did. He finished with 61 yards last night for the 49ers. Speaking of the 49ers, the 6 points that they scored, the second lowest under Kyle Shanahan, the first lowest, 3 points in his very first game as a head coach. So this is the lowest amount of points that they have scored since his very first game as a head coach. And I think we all can just accept that the season is gone. It is over now for the San Francisco 49ers. They will regroup and come back stronger in 2025. But for the Los Angeles Rams, everything is right in front of them. Yesterday, we talked about their odds to win the NFC West. It was at plus 160. Well, after the win last night, they are now minus 115, which makes a lot of sense. Because as we mentioned yesterday, they are in control of their own path to win this division. Because they have that win over the Seahawks, all they have to do is go into that final week with one loss behind Seattle. And if they win that game, it's an NFC West championship game. If Seattle wins, they're division champs. If the Rams win, they are division champs. So everything ahead of the Rams right now and their schedule, let's just be honest here. The remaining games for LA, the Jets and Cardinals, I'm excluding that Seattle game, the final game of the season, but they're going to be favored in both games, Jets and Cardinals. And then the Seahawks, they're dogs coming up on Sunday night against the Packers. And then they'll be home underdogs against the Vikings next week before going to the Bears for a get-right game, possibly, even though the Bears could still be fighting. Just a little pride at the end of the season before facing the Rams. There is a great chance for that game, the final game of the regular season, to actually not be for the NFC West title if the Seahawks lose to both the Packers and the Vikings.
Yeah, it's checking lines real quick for next week. So you got Seahawks catching 2.5 on the look ahead against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Rams, Jets, I do not see.
I mean, the Jets take money every week, but we know it's just ridiculous. Like, they've been favored in 9 games this year for some reason.
I know, right?
It's just every
Rams,
week.
Rams 3-point favorites, 2.5, 3 on the road against
the Jets. And that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be joined by Steve Fezzik, 2-time Super Contest winner, professional bettor, coming up in our second hour. And I'm going to ask him about these future lines. As he always does with Gil, he gives out some plays for the upcoming weeks.
Yep.
And we know that the Jets take money. Because they have all season. I've been watching the Jets. I'm a Jets fan. I've been watching them take money all season, and it makes absolutely no sense why they flip from short dogs to short favorites, and yet they keep on losing these games. So I'm curious, if we wait on the Rams-Jets game, do we actually get a better line on the Rams? Mm-hmm. I'll ask that of Steve Fezzik coming up a little later on in the program. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg alongside Kelly Bidlin in for Gil here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network. You can hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. We'll get into some soccer coming up a little later on in the program as well.
Paul Carr on a heater, man. Yeah, he's killed Champions League this week. We're going to bring him on. We'll talk Premier League with him. And then, like you said, we got Steve joining us in the second hour. I did want to ask you one question. These things get lost with a team that wins.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you feel about McVay and his... I mean, we all know McVay loves field goals.
Yeah.
But, oh, boy, I think every one of those fourth downs that they settled for a field goal last night, I would have gone for it.
Well, you also have to... Whenever you talk about fourth down plays and aggression and should you go for it on fourth downs, you have to look at the third down plays as well.
Yep.
Because what's so important, and people forget this, if your strategy, like Dan Campbell, is to go for it on fourth and short all the time, your third down play calling is different. So Ben Johnson for the Lions knows, hey, I can call a certain play on third down because if we're within 1 to 2 yards, we're going to go for it on fourth down. McVay's calling the game. I don't know how he's calling the game. Last night, it didn't look like the Rams. It just didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's why I questioned, was it a short week of preparation? But I gave out the numbers yesterday, and I'll repeat them again, and I'll update it now with the ATS win for the Rams last night. But Sean McVay on short rest, 15-6-1 against the spread. He thrives on short rest. So it can't just be a dumbed down play calling sheet or just a simplified game plan because of the short week. Maybe it was because of how familiar him and Kyle Shanahan are with each other's playbooks and the play calling style. It could have been maybe they just saw something within.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They saw something within the defensive line of the 49ers and they said, hey, we're going to be able to run on this team all game. So why let's just not expose ourselves to any mistakes. We don't want Stafford throwing an interception because the worst thing you can do in a game that you feel you have control in is up the variables, right? Up the opportunity for you to allow the other team back in the game. I think Sean McVay knew, looking at that 49ers team last night, that they were going to win the game and that they could be in control the entire game. And the worst thing they could do is have Stafford throw an interception, turn the football over, and give the 49ers some life. If they just ran the ball, they were going to be able to move it downfield. Unfortunately, they settled for field goals,
yeah,
but it didn't matter last night because Brock Purdy was was not good.
The Niners needed the rain to continue, apparently, because they looked like the better team when it was pouring out there. And as soon as it stopped, it completely flipped.
Absolutely. So that kicked off week 15 of the NFL season. We got a full slate of games coming up on Sunday and then a double header on Monday Night Football. So I wanted to quickly look at the market rundown and see if where we've had some movement from Thursday into Friday. Obviously, more injury reports come out on Thursday. Practice situations get clarified. I know for the Bucs, Bucky Irving did not practice once again, which I don't think that they do the same type of, what's the good word I'm looking for? Chicanery that they did last week when Bucky Irving did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday, practiced on Friday, and then they said, you know what? He's going to be good to go. What do you get? 3 carries for 5 yards, right, and he didn't play the rest of the game. So I don't think they pull that, again, the great word, chicanery, again, with Todd Bowles and the Bucs. I think that if Bucky Irving is on this injury report, he's not going to play.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Mike Evans, probably a bigger deal out there for the Buccaneers. I'm on that side this week, so that'll be a little bit of a sweat. But, you know, Chargers, we got a banged up Justin Herbert, it sounds like, too. And I mean, I have a feeling he's going to go. He did practice yesterday, mm-hmm. Scott, but that is, I mean, a hobbled quarterback is never great to have out there. So we'll see how much that ends up affecting him.
Yeah, we know George Pickens likely to miss another game. Kenneth Walker is going to be interesting for Seattle. Now, that game's Sunday night, so they have more time. But all indications were earlier in the week that this was going to be Kenneth Walker returning for the Packers. Now, to Zach Charbonnet having a phenomenal game last week kind of allow Seattle to take a step back with Kenneth Walker? I don't think they can afford to.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't know about you. I like how you put it, because I was certainly surprised that Charbonnet looked that good last week. I don't really think that's the same. That wasn't the same guy I've seen basically his whole career so far. And Kenneth Walker, I don't think we talk about the Seattle team enough, but he is an under the radar good back in the NFL. And mm-hmm. Having him healthy out there would be huge, I think.
Oh, absolutely. So we're going to continue to look at the NFL Week 15 schedule. I have some interesting trends when it comes to these games, including one that, Kelly, you're going to say makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
Because it contradicts everything that you would think heading into a specific marquee matchup for this Sunday's games. I'll give you that trend coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. He's Kelly Bidlin. We're in for Gil. Well, I'm in for Gil. He's always here. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil alongside Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got an exciting slate of games here for NFL Week 15 Sunday and a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Kelly, out of all the matchups that we have here on the Week 15 schedule, which one are you looking forward to the most?
Bills and Lions.
Don't say Rams 49ers, because we know that didn't live up to the hype. But Bills Lions, right?
Yeah, Bills Lions.
I think that would make sense. It could be a Super Bowl preview. I love, by the way, the memes that are going around the internet saying the Super Bowl America wants Bills Lions. The Super Bowl America is going to get Chiefs Eagles.
That is pretty good, actually.
It's what's going to happen. We all want this matchup on Sunday should be the Super Bowl. I think America would love to see these two teams battle in the Super Bowl. But it is a bad situation for the Buffalo Bills to be in. Let's just be honest, okay? They come into this game after an absolute shootout with the Rams. Not only do they come in after their defense was on the field for however many plays, over 40 points allowed, but the Lions have a significant rest advantage after being on the bye.
Yep.
Naturally, you would think this is a bad spot for the Buffalo Bills. But I'm going to give you a trend that says otherwise. Speaking of trends, our buddy Steve Mackinnon up on vsin.com has a ton of trends for week 15 as well. And if you want to be a smarter better, start with Smarter Insights. A vsin pro subscription delivers the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Right now, you can check out articles like Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets, Zachary Cohn's on the UNC win total, Nigel Seeley's EPL picks, and later today, you can check out weekend horse racing picks from Ed Sihon and our friends at FirstBet, plus Adam Burke's NFL player props. To get all access to all the articles on vsin.com, right now you can sign up for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. So I mentioned how the Bills are in this terrible situation. Huge rest advantage for the Lions. The Bills defense on the field for so long, they gave up 40 points. Well, I did a little trend research of my own, Kelly, and this is what I found. I start with the year 2012 because that's the year that really things changed in the NFL. New CBA, new schedule, new rules. Like 2012 was pretty much a standard year when it comes to trends. So I know a lot of people give out trends that go back to 1990 or go back to maybe the last 10 years or so. But really 2012 is like the marquee date, the marquee year for NFL trends. Because as I mentioned, the rules changed, buys changed, the practice, everything changed in 2012. So I went back to that year and I said, if you allowed over 40 points to your previous opponent, now you go on the road and you are at a rest disadvantage, which is exactly the scenario that the Bills are in. You would think that that would be bad for the Buffalo Bills. But those road teams who had bad defensive performances the week before and are at a rest disadvantage, I'll say it again.
Yep.
24-6 against the spread.
That is pretty crazy.
24-6, covering by 4.8 points per game. The average line in those games, 3.5. So they're 3.5-point dogs on average. And right now the Bills are 2.5-point dogs against the Lions. But those teams since 2012 are 24-6 against the spread. Now, I dug a little further into these games, these 30 games. And this is non-playoffs, so I don't count playoffs because playoffs, obviously, you can have a rest disadvantage if you're playing one team that had the bye in the playoffs and you're coming off a wild card game in which you gave up 40. I took the playoffs out of this. So this is regular season only. In those 30 games, I mentioned 24-6 ATS, the under 29-1. 20 unders, 9 overs, 1 push.
That one surprises me less. Because if anything, you're talking about points the week before, that might make the total go up. Yeah.
That is what I'm... That's why Kelly's here, folks. This makes sense. Because first off, you just said it. A lot of points the week before, so that would lead to higher totals. And right now, if we look at this game, we're seeing a total between the Lions and the Bills that is 54.5.
Mm-hmm.
54.5. That's just absurd. I understand more scoring in the NFL with the kickoff rules and whatnot. 54.5 is dumb, okay? Right off the bat, I want to go under 54.5. But that's obviously an inflated line because of both these offenses, and we just saw the Bills give up over 40 points a week ago. But when I dug deeper into these games, I saw that the opponents for the road team that's at a rest disadvantage are actually only scoring 20 points per game. And now that makes me think a renewed focus on defense. So think about this. You just gave up over 40 points a week ago. What's the coach going to drill into you all week? Defense, defense, defense. Especially now with a defensive-minded head coach in Sean McDermott. It's going to be all about defense for the Buffalo Bills against this high-powered Lions offense. So I love the Buffalo Bills in this matchup. I think I love the under more. Now I'm going to give you a little defensive trend here for the Bills. They play zone coverage at the fifth highest rate in the NFL. That's their base defense. They are in zone coverage. They've recorded 10 interceptions in zone coverage. That's also the fifth most in the NFL. Jared Goff this year has thrown 10 interceptions. All of them against zone coverage. Now, this is nothing new for Jared Goff. Last year against zone coverage, he also threw double-digit interceptions. So if you want to defend against Jared Goff, you play zone. What do the Bills do? They play zone. So I think the Bills are going to have a good defensive game plan here against Jared Goff and the Lions. The trends speak to the rest disadvantage, meaning not a lot here, if anything, nothing with the 24-6 ATS numbers, but really those under numbers stand out to me with the opposing teams scoring 20. So can I sell you on the under 54.5?
You make great points, Scott Seidenberg, but I already bet the over, so.
Wow. Well, Kelly's putting together his same game parlays with Montgomery and Gibbs and...
So I will tell you. So I bet the side and total on this game as soon as it opened up. Mm-hmm. I bet over 52.5. I just thought with both these teams, how the offense had performing, that number was going to go up throughout the week.
And by the way, when Steve Fezzik's in here next hour, he'll tell you, bet the under 54.5. Because you can always play back. Right now you have an over 52.
Yep.
You can bet the under. And you have a little middle.
2-point middle, yeah. But, 2-point middle.
But at some point, the line gets too far away from you that you have to play back.
Yeah, I'm wondering, the one I've been kind of thinking about all week is, I do think side and total are a little correlated here. Like, if you like the Lions, because I bet the Lions, I actually think that probably more means more of an underplay is coming, because they're going to be able to, probably means they're going to be able to lean on the running game and their offensive line, push the Bills around, and they're just going to try to keep Josh Allen on the sidelines as much as they can, taking the air out of the ball. That's kind of the way I'm looking at this game. I think if you like Buffalo, I think it's kind of reversed. If you like Buffalo, you're probably liking the over a little bit more, just because you're thinking it's going to be more of an up and down game on both sides of the ball. So I don't know. This is going to be a great game to watch play out, though. Updating some injuries on it, because this is pretty big. Both sides getting a little healthier. I think this has been made more of a big deal with Buffalo. That looks like Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman could be back. But even on the Detroit side, DJ Reader, he's questionable. Didn't play last week. It looks like he's got a good chance to get back there this week. Is same with Taylor Decker on the offensive line as well. So, but big injury information to track here over the next couple days. But, man, the marquee game of the week for sure.
I hope it's a Super Bowl preview.
Me too.
I really do. And if you're interested, the Jared Goff interception market, you can get Jared Goff over a half an interception at plus 120. Now, okay. That's attractive to me, because I just told you, 10 interceptions against zone coverage this year, and the Bills' defense, zone coverage. So,
yeah, and if you like the over, then you're going to be thinking there's at least more pass attempts, right, than an average game.
The props market is going to be absolutely inflated in this game because of the high total at 54.5. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, the numbers are going to be much higher than what you would see on a typical week. But this is just such a big number when it comes to a total this year. Almost, you know, it's like when you see these big numbers, The one thing I want to do is go. It's like my first instincts to go against it. My first instinct when I see a 54.5 is to go lean under. My first instinct when I see the Ravens at 16.5 point favorites is to lean under. So, I mean, lean towards the Giants, right, plus the 16.5.
Although, that's a big number in the NFL. I mean, that's just a huge number. These two offenses, though, 32 points per game for Detroit, Buffalo, 29.5 so far this year.
Although there is something that you have to know about the Giants. Yesterday at their practice, they ran red zone. They practiced outside.
I saw this.
instead of being in the bubble, they practiced outside. 30-degree weather, 18-mile-per-hour winds. It's not going to be 18-mile-per-hour winds during their game, but they wanted to practice in the elements. 17 plays. They went 0-for-17 on passing plays. Tommy DeVito did not complete a single pass. 0-of-4 versus air, which means no defenders. 0-for-13. In one-on-one matchups with defenders, and according to Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News, it was a combination of drops, overthrows, defensive plays, and two catches out of bounds. 0-for-17 for Tommy Cutlets.
You're telling me this Giants team isn't firing on all cylinders right now? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Scott? I believe you.
Oh, boy.
I want nothing to do with that game, though. 16.5 points, oh, man, that's a lot in today's NFL.
I have two props in that game, though.
So all right.
We're going to have to get to that coming up. But coming up next, Paul Carr is going to give us the plays on the pitch. That's what they call the soccer field. You
that's
know
right,
that?
Yeah.
He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Scott Seidenberg. In for Gil. This is A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil alongside Kelly Bidlin here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Carr will join us in about 15 or so minutes from now to give us his best plays for the upcoming soccer weekend. And I want to remind you guys that if you are the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110 instant in-game betting. And a concierge player service, SportTrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade is live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade and use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You must be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. I talked about the Giants' ineptitude when it comes to their red zone practice yesterday, which is fascinating. Again, 0 of 17 on red zone passes yesterday. Line right now, 16.5 of the Ravens are laying at the New York Giants. Total of 42.5. I like the under. I lean towards the Giants, but I'm not going to bet it because I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't trust it. But here's what I can trust. Derrick Henry. Kelly, I'm all over Derrick Henry props in this game, but specifically his longest rush prop. This is where I want to focus in on. You can find his longest rush prop at 20.5 yards. Some, it might be more if it's juiced and people have bet into this market. Maybe me. I'm not saying I move lines, Kelly. I'm just saying like that there's been bets placed. But 20.5 is a line that I'm seeing out there. And Derrick Henry this season has forced the third most missed tackles in the NFL. He's also gained the most yards after those missed tackles out of any running back in the NFL.
He's tough to tackle.
It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
He looks like he's tough to tackle. You know,
I wouldn't stand in front of him. The New York Football Giants, meanwhile, have allowed the second most yards in the NFL after missed tackles. They're right around 12th or 13th in missed tackle rate. So it's not like they're one of the worst tackling teams in the NFL, but as it gets colder later in the year, motivation lacks. I don't know how many guys are going to want to stand in front of Derrick Henry and take him down. But anyway, they allow the second most yards in the NFL after missed tackles. So I want to look at Derrick Henry, not his overall rushing prop, which he'll probably still go over, but it's juiced because they're a 16.5 point favorite against a bad Giants team. But his longest rush, he's had 29 carries this year of 10 or more yards. That's an average of 2.2 per game, a 12% rate, which means 12% of his carries go for double-digit yards. The Giants' defense, meanwhile, has allowed the third most double-digit runs in the NFL, average of 4.15 10-yard runs per game, and a 14% rate of double-digit runs. So 14% of opponents' carries are going for double digits against the Giants. And if you're asking, well, what's the game log look like? How many times has Derrick Henry gone over this number? In 10 of 13 games this year, he has had a rush of over 20 yards. In one game, he had a rush with 19 yards, so that would have been a bad beat for you. Let's say you got the prop at 19. I mean, that's 11 of 13 games this year, but still 10 of 13 games, he's going for 20 or more. I feel pretty good about Derrick Henry's longest rush over 20.5 yards.
Yeah, I like it. I always like kind of reading into it when we go through numbers like this, and it's like, you know what I took out of that, Scott? Man, these Giants linebackers suck. Yeah. Like, they must suck. Like,
they have a really good pass rush. Right, they just can't defend the run.
I mean, because you talked about the missed tackle rate and all that, so it's okay. So it's getting cleaned up on the back end somewhere, but those initial tackles are not getting home.
Yeah, and if you're interested, if you're somebody that plays like defensive props, you could look at the Giants secondary and look at their tackles. Because if you think about it, who's going to get the tackles when Derrick Henry breaks through the line? It's not going to be the defensive lineman. It's not Dexter Lawrence. It's not Brian Burns. It's going to be those guys in the secondary that are going to have to clean up those missed tackles. Down, so that could be an angle to look at if you are someone that plays defensive props at a sports book that does offer those tackle props.
Do you ever get involved with those?
I do get involved with sack props.
Okay.
Because, and there was one that I played this year, actually, on Brian
Burns.
I rarely
do, that's why I bring it up.
I played one on Brian Burns of the Giants. It was the game against Carolina. And to me, it was like, you know, we talk about the revenge spots. This was a revenge spot for Brian Burns. Remember, Carolina didn't want to give him the long-term contract. They trade him to the Giants for nothing. The Giants pay him. And it was the second play of the game. He got a sack on Bryce Young. So and the line was only, it was over a quarter of a sack. It wasn't even over a half a sack. So all he had to do was get a half a sack and you would cash that bet. And people are asking, if you don't know what a half a sack is. It's like if you and your teammate meet at the quarterback, you're both going to get credited for a half a sack there. So that happened on the second play of the game. So that I do get involved in sack props, not so much tackles props, Because you can get a bad beat on tackles props, I think.
Oh, totally. I'm trying to look up right now, too. I don't see any of the Giants safeties listed under the tackles props for a draft.
It's just so bad. The book sports book's probably getting cleaned up on these props. The other prop I like in this game, sticking with the Ravens rushing attack, kind of a similar theme, but their backup running back, Justice Hill. His prop, it was at 12.5 yards. It has gone up to 14.5 yards. I still like it at 14.5 yards. If you look at the amount of carries he gets this year, the bulk of his yardage comes from when the Ravens are leading. They're 16.5 point favorites in this game. They're going to be leading. And so when Derrick Henry already has 200 yards and two touchdowns against the New York Giants, Justice Hill will get some carries there in the second half. So I like Justice Hill over 14.5 rushing yards.
Like it. Co-sign? Yeah.
All right, we co-sign
that
on
was,
that.
That was when we were talking about a little bit during the break. Man, it feels like Justice Hill gets way more run than he actually does.
Well, because he does catch the football a lot. But again, in a game where they're 16.5 point favorites, I don't care. He's not going to get a lot of receiving yards. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be in there on passing situations because we expect the Ravens to dominate the Giants in this game. So you know what's interesting about this game as well is you look at the situation that the Ravens are in coming off their bye as an away favorite. And that's normally been a historic trend that people talk about, away favorites after the bye. So I went and I looked up since 2012. Again, we go back to that year. How do these teams do? Well, it's actually not that great. It's not a good ATS number against as an away favorite. It's not great as a double-digit favorite. 2-4 ATS as a double-digit road favorite after the bye. What's interesting, though, is if you look at the unders for these big favorites after buys, 5-1 to the under. If you look at overall away favorites after a buy, 16-9 to the under. And what if those teams are coming off of a loss like the Ravens are? Well, you would think, again, kind of like I mentioned with the Buffalo Bills last segment, the defensive intensity picks up.
Mm-hmm.
23-10 to the under, with the opponent scoring an average of 16 points per game. Now, the Giants team total is listed at 12.5 in this game.
This, and it also isn't like, it's not a situation where the Ravens are, like, the Ravens have something to play for still,
exactly.
too.
You know, exactly.
It's not like they're locked into a playoff spot.
I don't think I can bet the Giants team total under because it's so low. Like, you could backdoor your way into scoring 13 points
right,
in the NFL.
Yes, absolutely.
But I do like the under 42.5 in this game. Because I don't trust the Giants to score.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think the Ravens are just going to run. And so I could see this being like one of those. I mean, would it surprise you if this was a 27-6 final?
No, not at all. Not
even
at all.
31-10? Well, that would be borderline cashing the over because it's 42.5. I don't want to go 41. But I lean towards the under because one team's going to score, the other team's not. So under 42.5 between the Ravens and the Giants. You know, there's another away favorite that's coming off of the bye, and they're actually a pretty big favorite as well, and that's the Washington Commanders, who are on the road at the New Orleans Saints, and this line has gone up with the quarterback news. It's going to be Jake Haener at quarterback, not Derek Carr. I know there are conflicting reports. I think ESPN said, if Carr can't go, but NFL media reporting that it will be Jake Haener making his first career start in this game. Washington moves from a 6.5 point favorite to a 7.5 point favorite, which it makes me believe that obviously part of that 6.5 was Derek Carr not playing. Because Derek Carr is not, it's not 1 point to the line. It's a lot more than 1 point movement on the line for Derek Carr not playing in this game. But I do think that, you know, once it gets officially announced, obviously more money comes in on Washington. It moves it an extra point from 6.5 to 7.5. Are you concerned laying it this many points with Washington on the road?
Oh, man, great question. You tied him into a teaser with the Rams from last night, but I love him as a teaser leg this week.
Oh, from 7.5 down to 1.5
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, laying the full 7.5 is a great question. It's definitely still the side I would lean to. Might end up being a circa millions play for me this week just because of a kind
well,
of
contest
lack
line.
Of,
contest line is going to be less, actually.
7.5. It is 7.5. Yeah, okay. It came out yesterday. Yeah, I wish it
well,
was
Well, the Westgate
seven.
Had 6.5 in their
oh,
super
really?
Contest because their lines come out a day earlier.
Oh, wow.
So okay. It's in, yeah, they come out on Wednesday. Circa comes out on Thursday. So obviously check your contest lines.
But to answer your question, no, I'm not overly concerned with this guy. I think this Commanders team has come back down to a little bit more towards league average mm-hmm. here over the past few weeks. But this Saints team, without Derek Carr, with the injuries that they have, I think you're talking about a bottom five team in the NFL right
oh, now. Oh, for sure. And we saw that in the games where Spencer Rattler started. Right. Now, Haener's better than Rattler, but we still see the offense is not the same without Derek Carr. And yes, I do agree. 7.5 going down to 1.5 on the 6-point teaser. Maybe paired up with the Buffalo Bills up from 2.5 to 8.5. Let's get those soccer plays coming up next with Paul Carr. I'm Scott Seidenberg. He's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game here on VSiN.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here in for Gil alongside Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. It's time to head out to the Progressive guest line as we welcome in Paul Carr from True Media Sports, the Expected Value podcast, as he gives us the top plays on the pitch. And let's focus our attention, Paul, on the Premier League. See how I pronounce that, Kelly, properly?
Yeah,
Premier League. Man City, I want to ask you, because I know you have a play on them coming up here for this slate tomorrow, but they've seemed to fallen off a cliff as of late. I'm looking at the futures market. They're 10-1 to win the league title. What is going on with Man City?
Boy, that's the question. Thanks first. Hello, Scott. Hello, Kelly. But that's the question of the Premier League season. They have one win in their last 10 games in all competitions. A couple cup wow. games, a couple Champions League games, but one win in 10 games. Like, that's bad. And I guess it reminds me a little bit of the 49ers in that there are injuries.
Okay. You know,
City, we've talked about City has lost Rodri, their best player, the best player in the world this last year, midfielder who's out for the season with an injury. They're now down to 3 healthy first team defenders, and they generally play with 4. So that's bad, obviously. That's part of it, but they're falling apart. The midfielder taking Rodri out is kind of the linchpin that has been holding everything together. He's gone. The midfield gets worse. The defense gets worse. The attack gets worse. And they look like they've been maybe just going to try to outscore everybody, which sometimes looks like a good idea, but they give up so many good chances on the counterattack that they have to press more numbers forward to create chances. It opens them up the other way. And it just looks like one of those kind of wheels fall off type of seasons, kind of like the 49ers are going through.
That's a great analogy, because both of them were favorites to win the title before the season right. started. And well, the 49ers are now done, at least Man City, well, 10-1, but it's,
I think they're done from a title perspective.
Probably done.
Because just the math for them to get to the mid 80s on points for the season, they have to play at like 100-point pace, and there's just no chance that they're going to do that the rest of the way.
So how are we looking to attack them in their game here against Man United coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing a lot of double chances. I've probably given out 5 or 6 on the show in the last month or two, and I think all but one has hit. So the double chance is an option, which would be Manchester United win or draw. I'm going a little more high risk on this one. I'm taking the draw by itself in this match at +360. We talked about all City struggles. They struggle in transition. Manchester United has looked pretty decent in transition since their new manager, Ruben Amorim, came aboard about a month ago. And so I think this is going to be an open game. It feels a lot like a 2-2 kind of game that just gets a little nuts. So I played the draw at +360. If you want to be a little less risky, you know, United double chance +135 or so. You go over 3.5 at +115. I feel like there's a lot of decent plays here, because I think this will be a little bit of a crazy open sort of game.
Paul's been on a tear recently. Paul, was that a clean sweep of a Champions League we had earlier this week?
Went 2-1.
2-1.
2-1 okay. On Champions League. We're up 7.5 units on Premier League this season.
Whew. All right, let's go. I wanted to ask you one more about Man City. Do you co-sign the Felico relegation bet yet, or not? Not yet. 10-1. 10-1. Do we still have these penalties hanging over their head still?
Yes, is the short answer. I mean, I would be surprised. Like, the 10-1 sprinkle, you know, I'm not going to argue too much against it. And I think I may have said this on the show last week. It could be one of those where, well, I think they may take the point deduction for those penalties this year. This is just speculation, no like reporting here, because it's like one of those teams that says, we're not going to play in a bowl this season when they're, you know, they're 3-9 or something like
right.
that. So, but getting relegated is so much more than just, you know, finishing 15th or something, just from a financial standpoint, that I don't really see it happening, because I think they would just fight it. Like, let's say the Premier League decided to do it today. City would fight that for more than 6 months, and I can't imagine that it would actually get done. So lock it's not it up a terrible in court. Bet. Kind of fun, but I'd be pretty surprised.
I love the analogy of the bowl team that's out of it, and it's like, we'll accept the sanctions this year yeah. with the bowl ban. Like, you weren't playing right. in a bowl anyway, guys. Talk to me about Arsenal, because I see that when you're betting them here coming up against Everton, you like this game to be a shutout.
Do. Yeah, they have one of the best defenses in the league. They're probably not as good as they were last year right now, but still second or third by most underlying numbers. They just don't give up a lot of opportunities or good opportunities to opponents. And now they're playing hosting Everton. Everton is the second worst attack in the league this season. They've been shut out in half of their 14 games. That's the most of any team in the league. And offense, which has been a challenge at times for Arsenal this year, has been looking better. Bukayo Saka on the wing is looking like one of the best players in the world right now. Had a goal and two goals and an assist against Monaco on Wednesday. So Arsenal's going to get a goal or two, and then they just kind of close up shop. And Everton, I don't think we'll be able to crack them. So -120 on win to nil is what I've had here.
Paul Carr from True Media Sports, the Expected Value podcast, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line here on A Numbers Game. I'm Scott Seidenberg in for Gil here on VSiN. You have one more best bet, Paul, and that's Bournemouth to win against West Ham. Why do you like them?
Yeah, this one is on not till Monday, so you got a little time. I like them to win at -135. By some underlying numbers, like expected goal difference, Bournemouth is the fourth best team in the league this season. And they're just running really cold, but they're still in eighth place. I'm not saying they're the fourth best team, but I think they are definitely a top half team so far. They're running cold, but still cooking. They've won three straight games. They beat Wolves, Tottenham, and Ipswich by a total of four goals, but none of them are really all that close from an expected goals perspective, just meaning the types of shots, the shot quality that they were generating. They had over three expected goals in all three games, and only penalties were only a factor really in one of those. West Ham, bottom five this season, taking bad shots, facing a Bournemouth defense that's pretty good at preventing good shots. And West Ham have been bad on the road lately. So that just adds up to a lot of trouble for West Ham. -135 is the price. I'd lay probably to -150 or so for a Bournemouth win here.
Now, one of my favorite bets to make on soccer when I do the occasional time dabble in on Premier League soccer is both teams to score. I mean, yeah. it's exciting, right? We want to see some action. And so what I like to do is I look at games that have, you know, pretty high totals. And so I see Liverpool against Fulham is at 3.5. Both teams to score is -125. What do you think about the both teams to score, not just in that game, but any game that you like here this weekend?
Yeah, this is usually a pretty juicy market because the scoring environment's been a little higher the last year or two. So the two that jump out are really the two best prices, -125 in that one, -130 in Newcastle Leicester. Either one of those I'm okay with. I would lean Newcastle-Leicester just because, frankly, Newcastle's defense is not as good as Liverpool's. Liverpool likes to get a goal or two and just kind of sit on it and play it out. Fulham may not play along with that, but that's what Liverpool would like to do. And I don't think Newcastle knows how to do that at all. Leicester is probably going to be relegated, not very good defensively, but they tend to go for it enough offensively. So if I had to pick one, I would take Newcastle-Leicester at -130. I don't hate Liverpool Fulham at -125 either, though.
Hey, Paul, I'm just looking at the top goal scorer market for the Prem this year. Yeah, Erling Haaland -170. Any Man City struggles we think going to affect that at all? He is tied league lead with Mo Salah over on Liverpool. Salah's 2-1 right now. You got Haaland at -170. You got any thoughts on this market? I know it's very early still.
I mean, City, their attack is so built around Haaland. Like, when they brought him in, they had all these wingers and guys who could score. And you wondered it's almost like putting a center on a fluid NBA team. You wondered how they would be able to keep that fluidity with him. And now they've kind of swung that pendulum the other way, where they're overly reliant on him and everything is built toward funneling the ball to him. So, and he takes penalties, as does Salah. So it's tough to think that anybody's going to pass Haaland, barring an injury, of course. Salah's been playing out of his mind, like the best player in the world, really. So +200 is probably not as high as I would want to get to take Salah in this one. It's still really hard to bet against Haaland because, as I mentioned, City's best plan going forward may just be win games 4-2, and in which case Haaland's going to get a couple. But it is down to -170 after it was much, much juicier earlier in the season. So again, I don't hate Salah at +200, but I probably would prefer a better price if I were going to play him.
All great stuff. Thanks for joining us here. Good luck with your bets this weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one, Scott. Kelly.
There he is. Paul Carr, True Media Sports, Expected Value podcast on an absolute heater here on A Numbers Game, looking to continue that hot streak. By the way, a friend of mine texted me on Wednesday and said, bet Mo Salah anytime goal scorer. And I didn't wake up. I didn't see the text, and he scored a goal.
Yeah, so that's what tends to happen, right?
You know, I got a soccer guy. I got a guy.
I guess I didn't ask Paul this, but I'm also going to assume that there's nobody further down the list he would really consider, because those are two of the top goal scorers on two of the top teams.
Yep. Hey, nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. It's guaranteed perfection in every single bite. And right now you can save on unforgettable gifts with 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience. And the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to deliver the perfect gift with thoughtfully curated gift packages featuring gourmet favorites. From legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com, Omaha, and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. I'm Scott Seidenberg. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm in for Gil here on A Numbers Game. Coming up, we'll get back into the NFL. Plus, it's Army-Navy. Does that mean we just hammer the under?
Under.
Just, it feels right. But sometimes it feels good to feel so wrong. We'll get into that game coming up next here on VSiN.